May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The other day, someone asked me if I find it easy to write a sermon each week. And I answered that sometimes an idea comes straight away, and other times it takes a bit more work. Well, this week, it took some work. I struggled to come up with something meaningful to say. And it wasn't because today's readings are especially difficult. They are, in fact, quite exciting. Zechariah proclaims peace and freedom for the people of God. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, tackles the problem of sin. And Matthew gives us those wonderful words of Jesus, "Come unto me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest." Joyful words, challenging words, and comforting words. But what do they say to us today? Last week, we celebrated the festival of St. Peter and Paul. And because we focus here on St. Peter, St. Paul is a bit overlooked. But Paul, it must be said, is one of, if not the, most colorful and influential characters in the formation of the early church. And the book of Romans, in many ways, is the culmination of his theology. St. Paul is sometimes misunderstood because we make the mistake of reading him through our modern lens. And on one hand, this is important because we must interpret the scripture afresh for each generation. But we also must see Paul in his context as a first century Jewish Pharisee, Roman citizen, and someone whose life was radically changed. Read this way, we see that Paul is intelligent, highly educated, passionate, stubborn, and deeply committed to his belief that the incarnation changed everything. And in today's passage, Paul's honesty, his sheer humanity, shines through. We see his frustration, the perfectionism in his words. I do not do the thing I want, but I do the thing I hate. Paul here gives us insight to his inner battle. In his words, the war between mind and flesh. A common, but I think mistaken way to read today's passage is to assume that Paul is speaking only about individual sin. He is certainly speaking about the destructiveness of sin, but his emphasis is not merely on the individual, but how, as a community, we do what we do not want to do, and we don't do what we know we should do. Now, it's not difficult to connect this with our modern context. We know our lives are linked to the problems in our world: homelessness, poverty, violence, war. And it seems there is little that we can do. Now, my intention today is not to make us feel guilty, but to let the reality of our situation draw us towards God, to the knowledge that we are known by God. For this is really where Paul is leading us. So what does it mean to be known by God? Well, it involves more than knowing about God. To be known encompasses our emotions and our imagination. To be known by God is to be at peace, to be at peace with God, with ourselves, and with one another. We hear it said how God knows us in our inmost being. In other words, God knows all about us. And to be honest, this makes me a bit uncomfortable, for I'd rather keep a few things secret. But when we are truly known, there is no hiding. And this brings us nicely to today's gospel reading, for it is about knowing, about revelation, the revelation of wisdom. And wisdom, it seems, is revealed in ways that might surprise us. Many of you know that I worked for years with people with learning difficulties. And some years ago, I wrote a dissertation on revelation and the spirituality of people with learning disabilities. And this idea grew out of an experience I had with an ordinary church that was met with an extraordinary challenge. The church was an average Anglican congregation with a weekly Eucharist service much like this one. It was quiet and peaceful. The music was lovely, and most of the time, the service went to plan. But this all changed one Sunday morning when five people with profound learning disabilities came to the service. And these new guests were not quiet. They disrupted the peace. They spoke at the wrong times. They sometimes shouted or laughed during the sermon. And one person in particular would squeal when he was offered communion. Now, this was challenging for a time, but over time, these five people became part of the church community. And more than this, they became integral to the life of the service, participating in many aspects of our church life. And eventually, their presence made an impact on the structure of the service itself. It changed. It was not as quiet as it used to be. It was much more lively. It was sometimes very loud. And yet, oddly enough, the overall experience was peaceful. For the presence of these five special people drew the rest of us to face ourselves, to face what we believed about God, and what it means to be truly known. And this experience had a lasting impact on my life. Now, I'm not telling you this story today because I think we should minimize the importance of quiet or peace or intelligence or reason. For I think Jesus is saying something that goes much deeper than this. He is talking about being open, about knowing who we are before God. He is speaking about the humility, the wonder, and the sheer joy we experience when we grasp how God knows us, when we understand that in all our weariness, God is calling us to himself, where his burden is light. Now, we could end here, but I think we are left with an unanswered question. It sounds lovely to say that we can go to God in our weariness, that we are invited to be with God and to be at rest and at peace. And yet I must admit that every time I hear a sermon exalting the importance of quiet and rest over busyness and activity, I'm slightly uncomfortable. For I want more than anything to do this, to be at peace, to put aside the busyness of life. But the reality of life is that it is busy and messy, and we can't always stop what we are doing. Sometimes it would be irresponsible to stop, to not do the things we are called to do. So maybe Jesus' words to us mean more than taking a retreat from life. Maybe he doesn't mean this at all. The other day, I was at St. James Park in the late afternoon with one of the children from church. She asked if we might go on the swings. And so we did. And as I was swinging, I realized that it had been quite some time since I'd done this, and I had been missing out on all the fun. After a few moments, I noticed a few of the children from St. Peter's School early years class playing nearby. One of them recognized me and shouted, "Reverend Julie, you like to swing on the swings after school just like I do." Now, this was lovely. It made me happy to think that this little boy thought I liked to play like he did. And thinking about this later, I couldn't help but draw a connection with today's gospel. For the little boy pointed me towards God's invitation to experience the joy of life in the present moment. Maybe this is what Jesus meant when he said, "God's wisdom is revealed through infants." And so, if you take away one thing this morning, let it be this. God is with you in the messiness of life. He is with you, not so that you might change, not that you might go and do something for him. He is with you simply because he loves you. Amen.